Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And today we are breaking down the Big 12 in our conference previews. It is one of our favorite conferences to watch. Lots of points, very little defense. And usually super duper entertaining as well. Before we get into it, we do have a word from our sponsors over at Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is a live audio only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. You could talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. All you have to do is download the Spotify Green Room app for free in the iOS or Android App Store, create a profile, link to Twitter, and join your league. So very easy to use, and it'll be up and running for the upcoming season. TJ, the Big 12, it is, I think, the question that everybody is going to ask, and whether it's a joke or not, is Texas back?
Right. Not yet. But I will say, I do think that Steve Sarkisian was a interesting and I think ultimately will be a good hire. Now, the question for Texas is always going to be what's good enough? Is winning a Big 12 title once every 4 years and making the playoffs once every 4 years, is that good enough for Texas fans? I can't answer that, but I think that the resources there are sky high. The money there is, sky high, which of course leads to sky high expectations. I get that. I'm not the type to tell other fan bases how they should feel and how they should view, their program. Indiana fans, we've been told what we should accept with Indiana football for, forever, and we don't like that. So I'm not going to be one to do it to Texas fans. I just hope that Steve Sarkisian is given, adequate time to get things going there, because I do think ultimately he could have Texas at a very good level. Again, don't know if their fans will consider that good enough, but I do think ultimately he can be successful. And the Big 12, they don't need Texas to be great, but I think a legitimate challenger for Oklahoma would be a really good thing for this conference as a whole.
Yeah, and to go back on Texas, you kind of look at some of these – you call them blue blood programs, and Texas is up there, but you look at Florida State, you look at Tennessee, you look at Michigan, and you look at Texas, and they're all kind of in the same, in the same boat. They had highly successful coaches, got rid of them in one way or the other. They brought in their guy. Tom Herman was supposed to be the guy coming from Houston to turn that program around. He clearly didn't do enough. They got rid of him. And now you kind of go off the radar. I wouldn't say it was, they went after Urban Meyer. They didn't get Urban Meyer. And so they went with Sark. And it was, I'll call it under the radar or kind of unexpected hiring there. But you look at Michigan, did the same thing with Jim Harbaugh. He was the guy, and so what do you do after you fire the guy? You hopefully hit a home run higher. You hope that, you know, you could tell the boosters who are kind of pulling the strings behind, hey, we went with your guy before and it was a disaster. You know, Herman wasn't a disaster, but it didn't work out. So figure that one out. I think it's a two-team race this year, and it comes down to Oklahoma and Iowa State. Those are the two best teams in the conference. I don't agree with Heather Dinich of ESPN, who said, hey, Big 12 could get two teams in. I don't see it just because of the nature of their championship game. They do a round robin. The top two teams play again in the national champion or in the Big 12 championship game. That basically means a team is Oklahoma or Iowa State is either going to be undefeated, lose a game, or lose two games. And I don't think 2-1-loss Big 12 teams are getting in. And I don't think a 2-loss Big 12 team is getting in. I think it's a little far-fetched that they get two teams in. Now, if they had divisions and Oklahoma and Iowa State only played once, yeah, two teams could get in. Oklahoma's the favorite here. They have Spencer Rattler coming back after a slow start last season with interceptions. He, you know, got better. He was really good in the spring as well. And we know what Lincoln Riley does with quarterbacks in Norman. You know, they're usually in the Heisman race, if not in the finalist room. Iowa State also has to go to Oklahoma as well. And that game comes near the end of the season. So theoretically, they could be playing twice in 3 weeks. So they play November 20th. They could play again that first championship week in December. So they're going to be very familiar with themselves, with each other by the end of that. But, you know, Iowa State, they also have to play. They get Iowa at home. That's a series that Iowa State, for whatever reason, whenever they're good, they still struggle. And the Cy-Hawk game didn't happen last year. So it's going to be a game that each team has circled, which actually could benefit IU as well, because they play right after the IU game. But, you know, they at Baylor, they get Kansas at home, at Kansas State, you know, they get Texas at home, and then, you know, they end the year at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma, and TCU. So, you know, they bring back Brock Purdy, they bring back Breece Hall, and a whole – basically everybody that they needed to come back came back, and they're going to be a very strong team. But again, it's Iowa State. Can they live with the expectations of, hey, you're supposed to win, you know, win the Big 12, possibly get into the college football playoff? What's your take on Iowa State?
I think that they are a legitimate contender for this conference title. I do think that if this year's Iowa State team got to play last year's Oklahoma team, I would probably, you know, be taking Iowa State, given the question marks that last year's Oklahoma team had. I think that this year's Oklahoma, with another year under Alex Grinch at defensive coordinator, he is really doing a good job of making that defense good enough. You know, instead of being a complete sieve, they are capable of you know, getting stops and shutting, you know, bad offenses down. I think that Spencer Rattler really came into his own the second half of last season. For me, he's a very legit Heisman contender. I think he's got immense talent. And then they brought in Eric Gray, transfer from Tennessee, a running back. I think he's going to have a huge year as well. Kennedy Brooks is back at running back also. Oklahoma, you know, uses their running backs in pretty unique ways. And, you know, they're not just, you know, throw the ball 70 times. It's, you know, they do rely on their running backs, both as receivers out of the backfield and as runners that get big lanes because of a good offensive line and because you have to respect that passing attack. So I think the offense is going to be improved. I think the defense is going to be improved. And again, I think Iowa State will be better than they were a season ago because everybody is coming back. But I like Oklahoma to win their seventh straight Big 12 title. And honestly, until someone beats them, I think you have to take the Sooners to get it done again. But I do like Iowa State. I think that it's the type of thing that it was good to see Matt Campbell not really seriously consider any other positions. I like it when guys build something and opt to stay there instead of taking that first chance they can to jump to a, quote, bigger job. And it could be really cool to see Matt Campbell there for a long time, just like it'd be cool to see Tom Allen in Indiana for a long time, hopefully, you know, making their programs into consistent, you know, top 20 schools, to, as opposed to Matt Campbell has one or two hot years at Iowa State and jumps to, you know, job X when it comes available. But this year, I will still take Oklahoma to knock off the Cyclones. I do think they beat them twice, once at home, once in the Big 12 title game. And that likely, I agree with you, that likely relegates the Cyclones to a New Year's Six Bowl, but not a playoff berth. You know, I don't think that they're – the only way I can see them potentially getting in with two losses, both to Oklahoma – Oklahoma would have to be undefeated and the number one team in the country or something like that. Iowa State would have the two losses to them, but they need to be competitive. And then you would have to have Iowa State beating one or two other teams that have really great seasons, and they just don't have that on their schedule. The only opportunity that they could develop is if they knock off Iowa in impressive fashion, and then the Hawkeyes – you know, beat Indiana, win the Big Ten West, maybe go something like 11-1 or something like that. And then Iowa State would be able to, you know, point to two losses to a title contender like Oklahoma in competitive fashion, plus an impressive win over, you know, say, Oklahoma State, Texas, and beating Iowa as well. But I agree with you. That's pretty far-fetched. So I think it probably relegates them to a New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah, and moving on to the rest of the Big 12, some interesting games, too. We were talking about this last night via text. Oklahoma opens at Tulane. That's just a weird game. We talk about Power 5 schools going to Group of 5 schools, but they're going down into the South. It could be a nice recruiting trip for them. But it's also a tricky, you know, a tricky game. Anytime you play an option team, it's tricky. Sure. You also bring back the old rivalry between Oklahoma and Nebraska. And I mean, they're complaining that game's at noon, you know, so, you know, we'll see. And then you bring back a rivalry game with West Virginia at Maryland as well. Are there any other teams who could, compete with Iowa State and Oklahoma? Who's your surprise team in the Big 12?
I went with TCU. I like Gary Patterson. I do think, you know, he's not elevated TCU to quite the level that it seemed like they might be on the trajectory for after Andy Dalton left. However, I still think it's a really good program. And I think that their schedule sets up pretty nicely. They do have to go to Oklahoma, and they have a potentially tricky game against an improving SMU program. But, you know, they get those 50-50 games largely at home. West Virginia, Baylor, the other one? Texas, all at home, you know, at Oklahoma, at Iowa State. I don't think they'd be winning those ones anyway. But avoiding a long trip to West Virginia, getting Texas at home, those are perks. I can see 8, maybe 9 wins for TCU this coming season. I think Max Duggan is due, if he can stay healthy, finally put together a breakthrough season. I think that their wide receiver core is a pretty good one, and it is improving. The skill player positions are improving for them. The defense, you know it's going to be pretty solid with Patterson. They do have some holes to fill, but I think the defense is going to be solid enough, and the offense will be better than TCU typically has. So I have taken TCU as that surprise team. I've got them finishing third in the Big 12.
Yeah, that was my surprise team as well. Again, it's a quarterback sport, just like we said in our ACC preview. And Max Duggan is a veteran guy. He's been very good. The offensive line should be better. The run game should be a little bit better. He has the weapons at wide receiver, and the defense should be much improved. They do get California at home as well. In the non-conference, you know, they should start September off. They should be 4-0 with Texas coming in on October 2nd. And you win that game, you're in business. You go to Texas Tech at Oklahoma. I mean, it's the schedule lines up for, you know, you could legitimately go 10-2, 9-3, and find yourself maybe sneaking into a New Year's Six bowl, or at least a very high level bowl, you know, after a couple of down years at TCU. Who is your disappointing team? TJ, are you there?
That was my fault. I was on mute.
That's okay.
I've got Oklahoma State as my disappointing team, and I have year after year invested money in picking them, their win total over, and I've picked them as a surprise team and even some years a Big 12 champion, and it just doesn't quite come together for the Cowboys. I think that Coach Gundy is a really good coach. I think he's a good character for college football. And, you know, despite some kind of disagreements, if you will, with the Oklahoma State administration, he continues to stay there. And I think has built a really good program. But if I'm expecting an uptick from TCU, then I also think Iowa State and Oklahoma will be really good. Then somebody has to disappoint, and that ends up being Oklahoma State. Now, one of my main reasons for picking that, the offense has not been quite what it was here in the past couple of years. They have had a bit of a regression on the offensive side of the ball. Last year was one of their worst offensive seasons that they've had in quite a while. I know that they are expecting a backup, a tick back up there. Spencer Sanders getting hurt early on, and then a couple of offensive linemen going down at the start of the year. That certainly hurts quite a bit. But, you know, I see Chuba Hubbard gone, and I just think that there's enough chinks in the armor on the offensive side of the ball that it takes them back a step, and I don't expect their defense to make that up. Add in that Iowa State continues to get better. Oklahoma continues to get better. And I think the TCU's offense is going to get a little better as well. And I do see a step back for the Cowboys. I don't think they'll be bad by any stretch of the imagination, but, it's a fairly difficult schedule. They have Boise State and the third week of the season. That'll be really tricky. That's a road game for them. Kudos to them for playing that game. I don't think it's particularly smart, but, you know, that'll be a fun game to watch for sure. They have to go to Texas, to Iowa State, and to West Virginia as well. And then, of course, Oklahoma at home in the last game of the season. So I think that maybe a step back to a 7-5, 8-4 is kind of on the card or in the cards for the Cowboys. I do think Mike Gundy, you know, certainly not on the hot seat, certainly somebody that I expect to be there for a long time. If he was going to bolt for another job, I think that would have already happened. I just, it'll be interesting to see if they can get back up to challenging Oklahoma for that conference title like they did for a few years before Texas rises to do so.
Yeah, I debated a lot on my most disappointing team. I tried not to pick Kansas because, like we said, they don't have any expectations. They're bringing in Lance Leopold from Buffalo, who's a fantastic coach, but it's a total – he came in a day before their spring game. Great hire.
Yep, I want to chip in and just get that on record. If somebody can get Kansas to be competent, I think that Lance Leopold is the guy. I agree with you. The timing right now for this coming season, that it's probably not going to happen. But for the next 3 to 4 year project, if it's going to work, that was a hire that can get it to work.
Yep. And yeah, he was hired like one day before their spring game because Les Miles and Jeff Long were fired because of Miles' actions over at LSU, and they kind of swept it under the rug. And it was just a total mess. But Lance Leopold is a no-nonsense guy. He turned Buffalo into contenders in the MAC year after year. He had some really good players. I think his team was top 10 in the rushing last year, and that's Kansas' strength this year is going to be their running game and things like that. But it's probably a year zero for Kansas. And that's why they're not on my most disappointing list. But I'm going to stay in the state of Kansas, and I'm going to go with Kansas State. Their expectations aren't that high either. But they're always good to knock off somebody. They went 4-6 last year, and I think the expectation is take the next step. They open up with a neutral site game against Stanford. Stanford isn't great. They play a tough FCS team in Southern Illinois. IU fans know exactly how tough Southern Illinois is after losing to them in 2006 and needing a pass breakup to win by one on a two-point conversion in 2015, which is a game that changed the history of IU football. If Indiana loses that game, Kevin Wilson's probably out. They also play Nevada. They get Oklahoma at home. They get Oklahoma and Iowa State at home, not back-to-back weeks, but in back-to-back games. They have a bye week in between both of those games, and then they end the year at Texas. Which is kind of weird. I figured that they would play the Apple Cup at the end of the year, or not the Apple Cup, the whatever they play for. But they play Kansas in November 6th. I just don't see them having the talent that, you know, developed talent that they have yet. They're still young. They have a Skylar Thompson's a good quarterback. He's a senior. But Deuce Vaughn's still a freshman. They're littered with sophomores and redshirt freshmen on offense. Their defense is, you know, probably a sophomore junior defense as well. I just think they're a year off. But, you know, expectations for Kansas State are always to be a bowl team now and things like that. So I think they're going to be my most disappointing team. Let's finish up with Texas Tech and – Texas Tech, Baylor, and West Virginia. Let's start with Texas Tech. This is another team that I had on my, you know, most disappointing list. They were 4-6 last year again. They took Texas to overtime last year, but blew, I think it was like a 14-point lead with like 3.5 minutes to go. Their defense was awful. And their offense just fell off by the end of the year. Outside of the game against Oklahoma State, they beat Kansas by 3. They beat Baylor by 1. They had a 7-point win over West Virginia. They beat Houston Baptist by 1. Like, they were lucky to come out of 4-6. And I think, you know, with Matt Wells there entering his third year, it might be a do or die season for him. I think they need to go to a bowl game for him to get a vote of confidence. But they play Houston to open up. They also get FIU and Stephen F. Austin at home. But then you have back-to-back trips to Texas and West Virginia. You have to go to Oklahoma, and you end the season at Baylor, and you get Iowa State after a bye week after Oklahoma. So it's a tough schedule. I just don't think they don't have the talent right now, to, at least on defense, to compete. Mainly, they got lucky last year to win 4 games. It could be another, you know, 4 or 5 win season for them.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And Matt Wells, apparently, you know, people were not thrilled with how things were going even after the first year. I think that it's quite a transition when you go from, you know, a air raid offense to, you know, more of a not traditional by any means, but a little bit slower paced. And, you know, if that doesn't go well at first, I imagine fans are sitting around saying, well, I mean, at least we were fun before. You know, we didn't win all the time, but at least we were fun. And I think that he will certainly need to exceed expectations this season for them to keep him around for another year. I think it's a tough job. So I'm not sure exactly what realistic expectations are there, but
it's a passionate fan base. And I think,
yeah,
you know, you had something going with Mike Leach. They got rid of him due to some off the field issues.
Right.
You had Cliff Kingsbury as well. They weren't happy with the progress he was making. It's, you know, it's one of those, be careful what you wish for. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. And I think those years under Leach where they, you know, they got up to, you know, either 1 or 2 in the country and then fell off, that can't be the expectation, especially with Texas A&M in the ACC or in the SEC. Texas, TCU is playing well. You're probably the fourth best. At best, you're the fourth best team in Texas. That's not including if Houston's rolling, you're probably behind them. And, you know, if SMU ever gets it going, you're in danger of falling behind SMU as well. So it's a tough job. Yeah. And if your expectations are, hey, we got to compete with Oklahoma and Texas, you know, it's kind of like asking IU, you got to beat Ohio State every, you know, other year, which is totally unrealistic. Finally,
they did bring Sonny Cumbie back from TCU. He played there under Mike Leach and coached some under Mike Leach, brought him back as the offensive coordinator to, you know, that kind of tells you where things are at with Matt Wells. He needed to bring in a Texas Tech guy, an air raid guy, to kind of help what he hopes is revitalize the offense. And either that works and you see progression, or it doesn't, and there's no moves left for Wells to make. So we're gonna see this year. I certainly think he's somebody to watch on the hot seat.
Yep. It brings us to West Virginia, our second to last team in the Big 12. I had West Virginia, they were in my discussion for surprise team as well. And again, it comes down to the quarterback. Jared Doge is coming back. He threw for 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, just over 2,500 yards. He's got, you know, 4 out of his top 5 receivers coming back. Laddie Brown, who was a 1,000-yard rusher with 9 touchdowns last year, is back. The reason I went with TCU was the defense. You know, West Virginia did go 6-4 last year. It's Neil Brown's third year. I think he's on the up and up. You saw them beat IU out for Jacoby Spell, so their recruiting's getting better. It's the secondary. If your secondary is not experienced and not talented in the Big 12, you're going to get hammered. And I think you got some freshmen up front on the defensive line. And then now your secondary is seniors and juniors. And we've all seen what that does. And we've seen it at IU as those growing pains happen. It's as freshmen and sophomores, the improvement happens and you get a year like you had at IU last year. Now, West Virginia is going to kind of hope that that happens as well. Do they compete for the Big 12 title? No, but I think they go solidly to a bowl game. They do have a kind of a tough non-conference schedule. They do play 2 Power 5 schools in Maryland and Virginia Tech. They have to go to Maryland, and then they have to go to Oklahoma, at Kansas State, at Kansas. So it's not the worst road schedule, and at TCU. And their bye week comes right in the middle of the year, which, you know, is always nice. But if they could beat Maryland and Virginia Tech, they'll go 3-0 in non-conference. They'll beat Baylor. They'll beat Texas Tech. They'll beat Kansas. That's 6 wins right there with a chance for 8 against Kansas State and Oklahoma State and a home game at Texas. I think the ceiling's probably 8 or 9 wins. The floor is probably 5 or 6. So it should be a solid year in Morgantown. It's a good football school. They're always – I know West Virginia, based on, you know, that those late 90s, early 2000 teams with speed and offensive firepower. So they should be getting back to those roots soon. What's your take on West Virginia?
You know, the lack of an explosive offense, at least last year, combined with losing 5, you know, really good defenders, mainly linebacker Tony Fields and then the safety Tyke Smith. I think that is going to hamper them being able to take a step up. I think 6 or 7 wins is a reasonable hope. I don't see a whole lot more than that. Now, you know, major step forward in the quarterback play obviously would change things for this team. For me, they are missing that key guy at quarterback, but I do think Neil Brown has things moving in the right direction, and it's clear that, you know, he's doing a pretty good job recruiting with this particular class that he's got building right now. Indiana and West Virginia have battled for a few players this class. So I think that they are a program that sees themselves on the rise. For this year, though, I think 6 or 7 is probably the ceiling.
Yeah, and that brings us to Baylor. And Baylor was also in the discussion for most disappointing. But I don't think – they went 2-7 last year in Dave Aranda's first year. They are breaking in a new quarterback after Charlie Brewer left to go to Utah, which is tough. I just don't see them getting much better.
I don't either. It's, you know, 2-7 last season. A lot of that can be chalked up to a really tough offseason to have an entirely new staff. They've got some good wide receivers, but I, without any type of proven quarterback, it's really difficult to see this team succeeding in this conference. I don't think Baylor's going to be necessarily terrible, but I'm not sure what you're turning to as kind of a consistent backbone for your team. I know they're wanting to build it on defense, and that might be what we see. But if you can't score points in the Big 12, you're going to be really hard-pressed to win very many games. And I think that's kind of the issue we'll see with Baylor this year. If they find a quarterback, you know, much like West Virginia, if they find a consistent quarterback, that changes the equation for them. But until we see it, it's a hard thing to expect it.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, they blew Kansas out last year, and then their only other win last year was a 1-point win over Kansas State. So how much improvement? Matt Rhule had that program going. Dave Aranda was the obvious choice to be a head coach. He was a hot defensive coordinator at LSU. But those defenses at LSU weren't, you know, world beaters. It was probably the weakness of that national championship team. Their non-conference schedule is they should go 2-1. They do get BYU at home. But they play at Texas State, Texas Southern at home, and get Kansas at Kansas to start the year. The back end of the schedule is a lot tougher. You get Texas at TCU, Oklahoma at home, at Kansas State, Texas Tech. So they could start the year off strong and then fade towards the end. It's just they better hope that Jerry Bohannon, who's a sophomore, gets right quick, or if they find somebody behind him as well, because Charlie Brewer did a lot for that team. And even in the years that Baylor went to the Big 12 title game and then again in the Sugar Bowl, when you saw Charlie Brewer go down, there was nobody behind him, and that team, mm-hmm. It absolutely changed the game. All right.
Brewer's going to be a tough one, and he will come up in our Pac-12 preview.
Yes, he will, with Utah, yeah. Our old friends over in Salt Lake City. Anyway, that does it for our Big 12 preview. We will be back next week with our Pac-12 preview as well. Thank you for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Find our Facebook page as well. We are starting to sell we have our pre-sale going for Hoosier Huddle year. It goes up until August 18th. The gear is guaranteed to get to you by September 4th, so you'll have it in time for kickoff. Also, a final word from our friends over at Kansas City Steaks. Kansas City Steak Company wants to make this year your best grilling season ever. Visit KansasCitySteaks.com and get 15% off your order and free shipping with the code SD. At checkout, you can get classic steak cuts to USDA Prime, to hard-to-find specialty cuts, and more. Again, go to KansasCitySteaks.com and get 15% off your order and free shipping with code SD at checkout. That's KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD. That does it for today's show. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you when we talk to Pac-12.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.